Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
On the first Sunday in Lent, the Holy Gospel recorded Satan's temptations of Jesus in the wilderness. The very first temptation came after our Lord had fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. He was hungry. Satan tempted Jesus to make bread out of stones, but our Lord answered by quoting Deuteronomy 8:3, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Food is important, but there is more to life than food. A large crowd was following Jesus because they were mesmerized by the signs that he was doing, especially in healing the sick. Jesus sought relief from the crowd, which would not leave him alone, but they followed him. So Jesus tested Philip by asking where they could buy bread to feed this crowd. And Philip replied that even 200 denarii, a denarius was a day's pay, wouldn't solve this overwhelming problem. And they were far from town. Peter volunteered a boy's 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. It seemed utterly foolhardy. And then the miracle unfolded. Jesus took this boy's meager supplies and gave thanks to God. And the supply kept coming and coming until all had eaten their fill. And then Jesus instructed the disciples to take up the fragments, the leftovers, so that nothing would be wasted. And there was more left over than what was first blessed and multiplied. It was a miracle. The crowd realized what Jesus had done, and they said, "This is indeed the prophet who is to come into the world. He's the new Moses," the crowd must have shouted, "the new Elisha." But it was the same temptation that Satan used in the wilderness, bread instead of the word of God. So Jesus withdrew further up the mountain by himself because he perceived their real motive, which was to take him by force and make him king. Such a provider must keep doing these signs. It would be a politician's dream, a lifetime appointment. Life is more than food. As Luther teaches us in the first article of the Creed and also in the fourth petition of the Our Father, where he simply sums up everything that belongs to the supports and wants of the body, to which he adds another 23 items and ends up saying, "and the like." His list is not exhaustive. And so the word bread becomes the metaphor for all of this. There are many takeaways from this miraculous event. Christians should remember, first of all, I suppose, that our Heavenly Father has promised to feed us and provide for us, not always in agreement with what we want or think we must have, but in accord with his will and our needs. We are to receive our daily bread with thanksgiving, and we are to leave our worries about daily bread with God. We are to trust his promises implicitly, and that is hard. This miracle should draw out greater faith in us. But you and I know that we are not always such trusting people. In fact, we seldom are. In his prayer to live by the word of God, Martin Franzmann confesses what is true of us also. O Lord, we are men of half faith, of cloven faith, half given to you, half saved for ourselves, faith that would tempt you, experiment with you, use you to entrench us in our ways, to serve our ends, to give us greater greatness than you have given us when you made us sons of God. Perhaps you've heard of Maslow's hierarchy of needs, in which he identified five. Abraham Maslow was an American psychologist who in the 1940s described what motivates people to think and act. And at the base of his pyramid are physiological needs, the things that we need to survive. Air, water, shelter, clothing, and most importantly, food. While Maslow pioneered what he believed was a complete listing, he missed the most important thing, what our Lord said and repeated from Deuteronomy, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Without God's blessing, our bread would be stones. Our greatest blessing is more than bread for our stomachs, more than clothes on our backs, more than our homes, and more than our bank accounts. This gospel reading doesn't really provide that answer as far as it goes. John's gospel continues by telling us that the disciples got into a boat in the evening and began to row across the Sea of Galilee, but Jesus wasn't with them. It includes the account of Jesus walking on the water. He says little more. But this episode is not over. It continues. The next day, the crowd, figuring out that Jesus must have crossed the lake, also went to the other shore and found him. They needed to hang on to this bread king, this miracle worker. Yet Jesus said that they were seeking him because he filled their bellies. That food perishes. They would be hungry again. They needed something more. They needed the food that endures to eternal life. What is your greatest need? Contemplate that for a moment. I'll wait. What is your greatest need? Your greatest need is bread. You need the bread of God, which endures to eternal life, and that is Christ. And so this reading continues for another 32 verses, and then our Lord gets down to the crux of the matter. He declares, I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate manna in the wilderness, and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever, and the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. Your greatest need, then, my greatest need, the greatest need of every person in this world, is forgiveness of sins for eternal life. This gift is given to the world in the flesh of Christ, who offered himself up as the sacrifice to pay for the sin of all people. And without this all-atoning sacrifice of his body and blood on the cross, there would be no eternal life, only eternal death. Our earthly lives are short. We observe birthdays and anniversaries, and if one reads the obits, one looks to see how old was this person when he or she died. Some are young, some are middle-aged, and some make it to what we call old age. Yet no matter how many years God grants us, they fly past, as the psalmist says, they are soon gone, and we fly away. It is a certainty that you and I will die physically. I chuckle when I watch the TV ads promoting super vitamins and minerals. There's that old couple. He's now 92, and his wife, I think, is 82 or 83, and he's driving a forklift around his warehouse full of his super vitamins. His wife is out on the golf course and then also kicking a soccer ball to some kids. They're tearing up the dance floor in their old age, and you and I could have that if only we would buy his super vitamins. I've heard it said more than a few times lately that Father Time is undefeated. Or recall the words of that favorite hymn, O God, our help in ages past, often sung on a New Year's Eve when we mark time. Time, like an ever-rolling stream, soon bears us all away. We fly forgotten as a dream dies at the opening day. No amount of earthly bread, no truckload of vitamins can keep us alive forever. But there is a bread which is available to you every Sunday, the true body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. In very bold language, Luther argues for the real presence of Christ in the sacrament. This sacrament is the gospel. And he said that on more than one occasion. Indeed, salvation is distributed to those who accept it in faith. Consider Luther's great sacramental hymn, O Lord, we praise thee. May thy body, Lord, born of Mary, that our sins and sorrows did carry, and thy blood for us plead in all trial, fear, and need, O Lord, have mercy. Our wonderful Lutheran hymnody is so full of the comfort of our receiving this living bread, which brings eternal life. I come, O Savior, to thy table, for weak and weary is my soul. Thou, bread of life, alone art able to satisfy and make me whole. And then these words of the refrain seal it tightly. Lord, may thy body and thy blood be for my soul the highest good, and for more also than our souls, but also our bodies, which Christ will raise on the last day. So here in this wonderful sacrament, our Lord feeds your hunger with forgiveness, strength, and everlasting life. Here is the bread which satisfies and makes us whole, Christ, and Christ alone. The reading concludes as Jesus speaks, whoever feeds on this bread will live forever. When all have received the sacrament, the pastor speaks the blessing which points to the resurrection of the body and everlasting life. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you, body and soul, to life everlasting. Depart in peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Please turn now to the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of